Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. This week on Viewpoints, we'll be comparing two audio editing programs. One is called Studio Recorder from the American Printing House for the Blind, and the other is an open source, freely available audio editing program called Audacity.
And we'll be doing demonstrations of several audio editing techniques. But first to our tip of the week. This week's tip is, there are often multiple tools available for doing a given task. Use the one that's right for both you and the task.
And this show will be a great example of that, because although there are many similarities between Studio Recorder and Audacity, for various reasons, you might prefer one over the other. I mean, they don't both have the same functionality, although much of it is similar. Some things are available in one program and not the other, and vice versa. Some are a little bit easier to use with a screen reader, or the documentation might be better, or you just might be more comfortable with the interface.
Turning now to our more or less low-tech item, we'll give a brief overview of both Studio Recorder and Audacity, and at the end of this segment, we'll explain how you can get hold of each of them.
So Studio Recorder is a program that I've been using for probably about 6 months now, and I've really come to enjoy, and I've been using it quite a bit to do the first cut at many of our audio editing tasks that we need to perform for the Viewpoints podcast.
And I've been using Audacity to do the subsequent audio editing. So we actually use a combination of the two for every show.
Well, in fact, I used to use Audacity a fair amount, but for a number of reasons, I just found the Studio Recorder interface a little bit easier to use for the kinds of tasks I was doing. Both of these programs can be used to record audio that comes through your computer's sound card. So you can plug in a microphone and record audio that way, or you can record streaming audio. If you want to record something you're streaming from the internet, you can record through your sound card into either program. And of course, there's a little setup. You have to assign the sound card that you want to record from, the sound card you want to play back through. In addition, both of these programs offer a number of editing functions. So you can do some simple tasks like cut and paste, select items, and change volume, change the speed of your recordings, or change the pitch. And then they also come with a number of different kinds of effects. Audacity has a lot of additional effects and plugins, which we'll talk about later. Studio Recorder, as we'll hear later, was actually developed for use by the American Printing House for the Blind to be used internally to do some of their recording of digital audiobooks. So these programs are quite similar, but they do have some differences, and we'll try to highlight some of the differences and show you how these are used.
And both programs are actually fairly easy to get started with, even if you're doing everything from the keyboard without using a mouse, because a number of the keyboard shortcuts are the same as you might be used to from a document editing program or Excel or whatever. So if you want to copy and paste something, it's Control-C and Control-V, just like you're used to. So you can get started pretty quickly and then learn the more sophisticated functions as you go along and find that you have a need for them.
I mean, I would suggest in either case, though, with these programs and any application, at least browse through the documentation, because the documentation can be very helpful in terms of telling you how to accomplish certain tasks. And in particular, with these two programs, there are numerous other hotkeys that are specific to certain audio tasks that you'll be performing lots on your computer if you're doing any amount of audio editing. So you should read through the manual, learn what these hotkeys are. Both programs are very usable by the keyboard. Studio Recorder, of course, being developed by the American Printing House for the Blind, you can imagine they built in good keyboard support. And the recent version of Audacity, which is Audacity 2.0 now, has been optimized over the past year or two to work very well with the keyboard. On the other hand, if you do have some vision, you can often use these programs to see the visual display of waveforms and do some editing that way. So they're also very usable by a sighted person or if you have some limited vision.
Pete was talking about the documentation. Both systems have really good documentation, and Audacity actually also has a guide for users of the JAWS screen reader, and we'll have that link in the show notes. So if you're intrigued and you want to try to get hold of either product, Studio Recorder can be obtained from the American Printing House for the Blind. Their main website is www.aph.org. You can follow a few links and get to the specific site for the Studio Recorder product, but we'll have that link on our show notes. That one costs about $200, but you can download a free demo version and try it out for a little while before you commit. Audacity is intrinsically a free program. It's open source, so it's had contributions from many, many people, and that's available at www.audacity.sourceforge.net.
You are listening to Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic will be a discussion with demonstrations of some of the features of Studio Recorder and Audacity and how they do things either similarly or differently. You may recall that in show number 1206, we talked with Larry Skutkan of the American Printing House for the Blind about their development activity and products.
What we tried to do with Studio Recorder was to design it so that it worked very much like a word processing program. So you can hold down the shift key and use the arrows to mark sections of audio and then, you know, of course, cut, copy, paste. Or you can drop a mark and go to the end of the section and deal with it that way without having to hold the shift key down. But everything is really kind of geared towards an editing environment, except on instead of using it on words, you're using it on audio material. So it's got some pretty nice features too, like, you know, in a word processing environment, a down arrow is going to take you to the next line. Well, in Studio Recorder, a down arrow takes you to the next phrase. It actually measures silences between phrases in the audio. So what essentially you get is a down arrow moves you sentence by sentence through spoken word content. And same way, you know, we've added like an alt down arrow will make it like page down. Or you can use the page down key as well to move for bigger chunks. But control down arrow actually moves by paragraphs. And that, again, is just one of these measurements. So, you know, the shortest amounts of silence between phrases we're considering sentences, and the next ones we're considering paragraphs. And it actually works out remarkably well. So you can just press control down arrow to move paragraph or by paragraph or section by section in a recorded material. But the whole thing is just laid out very simply and efficiently. Everything is almost instantaneous on it. We spent a lot of time making it robust and fast so that our studio can use it. So, you know, there's no waiting while you cut and paste.
As Larry indicated, navigation within Studio Recorder is very easy and it's very snappy. As I said, I used to be a user of Audacity to do some simple audio editing tasks, but since I started using Studio Recorder, I've become a real convert. The documentation is great, the keyboard navigation is great, the keyboard commands for doing other common editing tasks is great. It's very easy to get around, very easy to learn, and so that's what I use a lot. So we're going to take you through some examples of some of the audio editing tasks that I more commonly perform. Of course, there are many more functions and utilities within Studio Recorder that we just can't cover in a half an hour show, but this will give you a flavor for how it works and some of the things I find more useful personally.
So what do you want to start with?
Well, one of the things I find most useful about Studio Recorder and isn't easy to do with a screen reader in Audacity is the ability to put marks at various locations in an audio project. I find that extremely useful.
On the other hand, if you're not using a screen reader, it's very easy to put in these same kinds of marks in Audacity.
Okay, I've already opened up an audio project that I've worked on before. Now, the way you bring up the list of marks is very simple. You hit the letter H, and that brings up a dialogue.
H, marks dialogue.
And this is a list that you can arrow up and down through to find the mark you're looking for. Now, I put a mark in here already called Studio Recorder, where Larry Skutkan of the American Printing House for the Blind was discussing Studio Recorder.
Studio Recorder, 0 hours, 1 minute and 3 seconds.
So there you go. There is the mark for Studio Recorder that I put in. And you can see it's at 1 minute and 3 seconds into the project. If I hit the Enter key, I'll be moved right to that location.
Enter.
And now if I hit the space bar, I can listen to the audio from that point.
Space. Studio Recorder, an audio editing program that we actually use here at APH.
Space.
If I hit the space bar again, it stops the audio. Now, another way of moving from mark to mark, instead of bringing up the list of marks, is to use the control page up to move back a mark, or control page down to move forward a mark. So let me use control page up to go back to this mark, which I just hit, and I hit the space bar.
Space. Studio Recorder, an audio editing program that we actually use here at APH.
Space.
And so you can see I actually returned to the exact same mark. Now, it's very easy to put in a mark. You hit the letter M on the keyboard, and you'll hear a little beep. That indicates that a mark was put there. And in order to name the mark, to give it a label, you hit the letter N.
MN. Name mark dialog. Mark type colon generic.
So that brings up an edit box where I can put in the name of the mark. And I'll just put in something like
test.
Test.
Mark.
Mark. Hit Enter.
Enter. 05.
And now I have a mark named Test Mark at that location. And that's what I find to be very useful, is the ability to actually put in a nice descriptive label for each mark. So when I'm editing the first cut of a program for Viewpoints, I can put marks at the beginning of each question or answer, and I can say exactly what that is so I can find it later in the file very easily. Just one note, if you want to remove a mark, you go to the mark and hit Shift plus the M, and you can take the mark right out of the project.
Well, that's handy. When editing audio clips from the interviews to use in the show, we often find that people put in extra words, extra ums, you knows, whatever. We like to take some of that out. If somebody coughs or the phone rings, we try to take that out. And that way the speech flows more smoothly. We also make a point of being very honest about what people said. So although we may remove some extra noises and extra words, we never change the meaning. Trust us.
Boy, let me tell you, it certainly is possible, though. You ought to be suspicious of any audio you hear. It's amazing what you can do with some of these editing programs.
It isn't even very hard to do that. So here's an example of Pete taking out some extra sounds using Studio Recorder.
Now, one feature that we use a lot in editing audio for Viewpoints is the ability to take out little snippets or extra words that people may put in that, you know, if we remove them, it cleans up the audio a little bit. So now let's listen to this little snippet.
Space. We write
space.
And I want to take out that little extra that was put in the sentence. So what I'll do is I'll go back to the beginning again and replay the audio. I'll hit Control Home.
Top blank.
Back at the beginning, space to start, and then I'm going to hit the space to stop right where I want to break the audio.
Space.
We write
space.
And now I can put a beginning of a selection mark here by hitting the left bracket.
Left bracket.
I'll hit the space bar play a little bit more.
Space.
And then right after that word was said, I'll hit the end of selection, which is the right bracket key.
Right bracket.
And to play my selection, just what I selected, I'll hit the shift space key.
Shift space.
Let's hear that again. Shift space.
Shift space.
I can either delete this by hitting the delete key or delete it with a little bit of fade in and fade out, which I usually do by hitting the shift delete key.
Shift delete.
And now let's go back home again, control home.
Top.
And play that over again and see what we removed.
Space.
We write utilities.
Space.
So you can see I deleted that little bit. Now, if I deleted too much or I didn't do it correctly, I can hit Control Z to undo.
Undo.
Hit Control Home to get back
Top
to the beginning
blank.
Again. And let's play it.
Space.
We write
space.
And there it is back the way it was. So if you make a little mistake, you get another chance to try it over again.
And it works almost exactly the same way in Audacity, complete with the left bracket, right bracket in order to define a unit of the clip that you're working on.
Some associated keystrokes that are also useful with the selection keys in Studio Recorder are if you hit Control E, it will bring up a dialog that tells you the beginning of the selection, the time, the end selection time, and the total length of the selection. One more useful keystroke with selections is the ability to just save the selection. If you hit Control Shift along with the S key, then you can save just the part of the audio that you selected. So those are pretty useful functions.
When we interview people, sometimes the interviews get kind of long. We only ever play 10 to 15 minutes of clips on the show, but some of these conversations run a whole lot longer than that. And in that situation, it's really nice to be able to listen a little bit faster. Why, you're probably listening to us a lot faster than we spoke if you listen anything like Pete does. And so it's nice to be able to change the speed at which you're listening even while you're doing the editing and then slow it down when you want to get involved in the details. In preparing for this show and looking up what was accessible on Audacity, I actually found that capability on Audacity. So I'm a very happy camper right now. But I believe that that's one of the things that you can't access with a screen reader in Audacity, but you can in Studio Recorder.
In fact, I never knew Audacity had that function in it. So that's one advantage of Studio Recorder that I find useful also. Another kind of fun thing you can do with Studio Recorder, and this can actually be useful, is to speed up and slow down the audio. So if you hit the space bar to start playing and hit the F3 key to speed up the playback or Shift F3 to slow it down, you can hear what happens. Let's try that.
Studio Recorder, an audio editing program that we actually use here at APH. We had originally written it for our studio here to record the digital talking books for NLS. But it turns out...
Space.
So that feature can be kind of handy. As you can see, you can easily speed up or slow down the audio. And we got back to our nominal speed by hitting Control F3. Another feature that's similar to this is the ability to change pitch. You can hit the F8 key to increase the pitch or Shift F8 to decrease the pitch. Let's try that.
Studio Recorder,
an audio editing program that we actually use here at APH. We had originally written it for our studio here to record the digital talking books for NLS.
But it turns out to be such a
nice,
simple, clean editor. Easy to use with speech or break.
Space.
And we got back to our nominal pitch by hitting Control F8. Poor Larry, we really did a job on him there. I hope he forgives us for that. But anyway, that shows you some of the handy little features of Studio Recorder.
And of course, we don't have time to go through all of the features, but here's Pete demonstrating a few more that he finds useful.
I showed you some of the very simple things in Studio Recorder that you can do, but you should also know that there are many more features. But let me walk you through some of them. If you go down to the processing menu by hitting Alt plus P, it will bring up a list of different kinds of processes you can apply to the audio. So let's do that. Alt P.
Alt P. Menu bar. Menu. Process menu. Insert silence. Dot dot dot.
So one of the things you can do is to insert some silence. If you need a little space between some things, it will allow you to specify how much silence you should insert. Let's keep arrowing down, see what we see.
Normalize dot dot dot.
Normalize. So that means that you can bring all of your audio sound up to a specified level to make sure everything sounds about the same level.
Fade in, fade out.
Studio Recorder has a number of features to fade in and fade out from various clips. Let's arrow down again.
Mute UM.
You can also mute a selected portion of the audio, or you can do that by hitting the U key or going to this process menu.
Reverse R.
You can reverse the audio. That's interesting. Let's give that one a shot and see what it sounds like. So first of all, I'm going to select some audio by hitting the left bracket key again at the location where I'm at.
Left bracket.
I'll hit the space to play a little bit of audio.
Studio Recorder.
Space.
And then I'll hit the right bracket to just select until that position.
Right bracket.
Let's hear what we selected by hitting Shift space bar.
Studio space. Recorder.
And now let's try that reverse function by hitting Alt P and going down to the reverse menu item.
Alt P, menu, process, norm, fade out, dip select, crossfade, mute U, and reverse R. Enter, leaving menus.
The little beep indicated that the reverse was actually done. Let's play that highlighted section again by hitting shift spacebar. I guess that's what Larry said backwards. We can undo that again by hitting Control Z.
Undo.
And hitting shift space again to make sure we undid it.
Studio recorder.
And there you go. We're right back to where we started.
And in Audacity, you can do pretty much all of the same things. There are pull-down menus across the top. And for the various effects that Pete was talking about, most of them are under the effects pull-down menu, but there are a few under the generate pull-down menu. If you want to generate silence, generate a tone, that would be a pure tone. If you want to generate any kind of noise, that's in the generate menu, and probably hundreds of effects under the effects menu. So one thing Pete's always recommending, including to me, because I'm one of those people who doesn't intrinsically like to do this, is to read the documentation. You probably heard him say that just a few minutes ago. Well, you can usually learn a lot from the documentation and ultimately save yourself some time and frustration if you read it. And here's a little demonstration of some of the documentation that came with Studio Recorder.
If you hit the F1 key.
F1, Studio Recorder User's Manual - Windows Internet Explorer.
The User's Manual comes up, and it's very easy to navigate by hitting H to go to Headings.
Chapter 1, : Introduction.
So I'm going to hit H again.
Audience. Requirements.
Requirements.
About this manual.
About this manual. So each time I'm hitting H here to go to another heading. And of course you can do searches. So if I'm looking for something like rewind, if I hit Control F.
Just find dialog. Find what : edit combo. F8 Alt plus W.
And type in rewind. And enter.
Rewind. Enter. Transport functions such as play, record, stop, and rewind function the same as they do on a cassette or CD player.
And so I get some of the rewind help in the manual. Hitting F3, I can go to the next occurrence of rewind.
Having to use the rewind function to find your place.
So again, the help documentation in Studio Recorder is accessed by hitting F1 and comes up as an HTML document, which can be navigated with all the very useful commands that you have in the Windows screen readers like JAWS and WindowEyes.
And similarly with the Audacity documentation, except that's all online. Now for this week's high-tech item, we'll contrast some of the major functionality of Audacity and Studio Recorder.
So in the focus topic, we showed you many of the similarities between the two programs. Let's talk about some of the differences. Some of the bigger differences that I've noticed, and you may find others, is that first of all, Audacity has a number of plugins, processes that you can apply to the audio. There are a whole slew of these, and Audacity also has the ability to pull in third-party plugins. So if you have different effects like reverb or delay or any number of kind of weird things, many of them are kind of strange.
Including an awful lot that I've never heard of and can't even pronounce, and there's got to be well over 100 of them.
Right. And like I said, you can pull them in from all over the place. So that's one thing that distinguishes Audacity from Studio Recorder. And now many of these things you may never use for common editing tasks. One thing we find very useful, we'll demonstrate later with Audacity, is the ability to eliminate noise sources from the background of a recording. And that distinguishes Audacity from Studio Recorder. Another distinguishing feature between the two is Studio Recorder is primarily a single stereo track editing program. You can bring in other tracks into different documents and copy and paste between the two, but it really is not a multi-track editing program. Audacity really can handle as many tracks as you want to put in there. So if you have 3-4 tracks, you can edit these all simultaneously, sync them up, and do various things.
We use that feature on every single show. So we've been recording these shows at home for the last 6 months or so, and we have all of the sounds that are coming out of the computer, which includes any of the clips from our interviews that we previously recorded and edited, that's all on one track. I'm on another track. Pete's on another track. And then if there's ever a situation where somebody's overlapping somebody else, well, I can separate that out and we don't sound like we're being rude, interrupting each other. Or if I need to rebalance the normalization between what one person's saying versus what somebody else is saying, I can do that. And yet I can keep them all synced up so that if I want to delete a chunk, I don't get everybody out of whack from each other. So this is really handy.
And that's why we still do some of the editing for Viewpoints with Audacity. Why don't you show them how you use that noise reduction feature to take out some of the objectionable artifacts that happen in some of our live recordings?
Oftentimes, when we're doing recorded interviews with people, we'll wind up with some fairly obnoxious noise in the background. One day it was the neighbor who showed up and started mowing his lawn, and when he came close to our window, boy, there was a miserable hum in the background. But whatever the source, we often wind up with noise that we want to remove. So Pete kindly took his Bookport Plus down to the basement to provide a little demonstration.
I'm standing here down the basement, right next to the furnace. This is your challenge. And you can hear that air handling system in the background, which would be objectionable in one of our audio clips.
Objectionable is a nice word for what it would be.
So how would you get that out of the audio track using Audacity?
The first thing I would do is select just a piece of the noise without any of the overlying speech, and that would sound like this. And I get into the effects pull-down menu, and I go to noise reduction, and then up at the top, having selected just the noise, I can click on get noise profile. And then I highlight the entire clip from which I want to reduce the noise, and I pull down from the effects pull-down menu again, the noise reduction option. And down at the bottom, of course, with all of these adjustable parameters that you can select, including how much you want to reduce the noise and some other parameters, I tell it to remove the noise from the entire clip, not just the part where it's noise only, but noise with content superimposed over that. So let's see what happens when you remove 30 dB worth of this noise signature from the original clip.
I'm standing here down the basement, right next to the furnace. Not bad, eh? And that was pretty cool. You hear that most of the air handling noise is gone from the background.
And if that doesn't work well enough for you, sometimes I wind up using a combination of equalization or high pass or low pass filters as well. That's it for show number 1224. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking with Dean Blasey. In the course of his career, he developed and produced the Braille and Speak, the Braille Light, the Braille Blazer, and many other innovations in accessibility technology. Join us to learn about those, other of his products, and some exciting new projects he's working on now. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to contact@viewpointsplus.net or call us at 585-258-0333 and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey in partnership with WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Viewpoints Plus. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.